Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Welcome to the SLC Sunday Experience. We're so glad you're here. Your soul is in the right place at the right time. We're going to sing about that.
I'm in the right place at the right time. I'm just where I'm meant to be. I'm in the right place at the right time. I'm just where I'm meant to be. I'm in the right place at the right time. I'm just where I'm meant to be. I'm in the right place at the right time. I'm just where I'm meant to be. Oh, my soul is welcome here. Oh, my soul is welcome here. I am getting the message loud and clear. My soul is welcome.
Welcome to our Sunday celebration service. And we know we are always one in the Spirit, and that we come together to remind each other of this truth and to live from this truth to make a difference in our community and in our world so that we do what is necessary during this inflection point in history. So let's take time to reinforce this eternal truth as we commune together in prayer. Divine Presence, we recognize that we live and move and have our beingness in this all-providing presence. And this presence is not separate from who we are. Rather, we are an outpicturing of this loving presence. And as we make this loving presence the activity of our thoughts, words, and actions, we bring that consciousness into our world as well as our individual lives to reflect the highest and best of who and what we are. We're grateful that we can make this choice. And we say so in the name and the nature of the Spirit of Living God as we continue to move forward and upward in life. I invite you now to join in and simply embody these five basic unity principles that reflect who and what we are. God is absolute good and everywhere present. People are inherently good. Thoughts create our experiences. Prayer and meditation are how we connect with God. And of course, we must take action.
Hey there, happy Pride Month, everybody. I'm Carrie, the chair of the Community Giving Program. I miss you all. You're looking good out there. I want to introduce our community partner for the month of June, Pride Month. I was able to nominate the organization. We have tied to them in the past and worked a resource fair for them. This is called Servant Hearts. Last year, Elaine and JG were able to volunteer at the table to spread the love about what SLC is about. So without further ado, I want you to meet Kathy and Tandy. Happy Pride. Take care, everybody out there. Love you. Bye.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Carrie, for the introduction. We are so grateful, not only to you, but to the Spiritual Life Center. I'd like to introduce my partner in business and in real life, Tandy Bowman. She's the executive director of our umbrella organization, Servant Hearts, and I am the programs director and also chairman of the board. So we really, really are very grateful. We received this wonderful gift yesterday in the mail. And we were really quite taken back by the brochure that Elaine enclosed because Servant Hearts was founded on being one servant serving many hearts. And your mission, it says, is to that there is one God with many paths. So it was kind of a very awakening for us that actually in writing, because we've always tried to align ourselves with organizations and sponsors who align with our core values and who align with our organization's mission. So thank you. Thank you for those beautiful pieces that came along yesterday. So we're very, very grateful. You have been an inspiration and accepting and also very giving to our organization since our inception of the Wisdom Project. When we returned from Minnesota and came back to California, we had the organization already, and we then registered as a California nonprofit in order to do the Wisdom Project. And that was to serve older LGBT community and provide resources that were safe for them to use, because so many of our community were not accessing resources that were available. And they were also very socially isolated.
Thank you very much, Spiritual Life. I appreciate you. And we really appreciate all that you have done for us and continue to do with us. So throughout the month of June, please don't forget Pride and have a beautiful and wonderful Pride Month.
Hi, this is Heather Asthai, and I'm here to invite you to a fun event, our Over the Rainbow live stream Hawaiian Social, or as I like to call it, our Better Late Than Never Spring Fling. This will be happening Friday, July 10th from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. We'll be live streaming the music of Love Eternal from the SLC Sanctuary.
can dance to and lyrics you can sing. A melody to hum to while you're doing your thing.
So there'll be dancing, an online silent auction, and a raffle with a grand prize of $1,000. You know the best thing about virtual parties? You can do it your way. You can wear your Hawaiian finery, pull your laptop outside and gather a bunch of friends and have a blast. Or you can join by yourself, stay in your jammies, and dance like nobody's watching, because nobody is. So don't forget, go to slcworld.org to purchase your tickets, and you'll get your super secret link to the event. If you've already purchased a ticket to the Spring Fling, you'll be getting a letter with that secret information. So I hope to see you all there, virtually.
The Spiritual Life Center Prayer Chaplains are excited to announce that next Sunday, June 14th, we will be accepting virtual and phone one-on-one appointments, as well as offering a virtual drop-in hour for those who do not schedule an appointment in advance. We are excited to be offering this new way to pray with you and hope you'll take a moment to find out more at slcworld.org.
This tune, it's an old one. We jazzed it up a little bit. Hey. If I can hear.
not be in vain.
Spiritual Life Center is a loving, vibrant family that welcomes home all people and accepts everyone, no exceptions. Weaving ancient spiritual traditions with emerging wisdom, we cultivate a spiritual deepening with the divine, each other, and our planet.
Joy and peace in my heart, always I feel joy and peace in my mind. God within revealed joy and peace in my life. I am healed. Joy and peace in my heart, always I feel joy and within revealed joy and peace in my life. I am healed. Joy and peace in my heart, always I feel joy and peace.
As we move into this time of quiet contemplation, take a deep breath and let it go. Breathing normally, move now to connect with your heart. Direct your attention to the center of your chest. Perhaps you put your hand there and quietly watch the rhythm of your heart as it generates a feeling of warmth and love within you. With your eyes closed now, imagine that warmth and love as a blush of light emitting from your chest. And allow yourself to take this image into a light daydream. There is a ring of four very large stones. They are ancient and silent. They seem to call to your heart. Move into the circle and take your place in front of one of the stones. Looking around the circle, you see that an emerald green cloak hangs from each stone, and that there are three other people here, each standing in front of a stone. None are like you. All of them are strangers. The person opposite you takes up the cloak and puts it on. Immediately, the cloak turns a brilliant white and the heart center blush of light brightens and grows to double its size. You feel it too and realize that everyone's heart light expanded when that person put on the emerald green cloak. The person to your left reaches for the cloak and puts it on. The cloak immediately turns a brilliant white and all the heart lights expand again. and you feel it deep, deep within you. And then the person to your right reaches for the cloak and puts theirs on. And again, the cloak immediately turns a brilliant white. The light expands to encompass your bodies, and each of you glows with brilliant white light. Now it is your turn. You are the one to complete the circle. Take your emerald green cloak down and lay it across your shoulders. It immediately becomes brilliant white light. The light flares to your left and to your right, connecting with the others. You are one circle of shining white light. Though you are strangers to one another, as hearts open, light flows and connection is increased. As connection increases, compassion and understanding arise. And you are completely aware that heart light is within everyone, and everyone, everywhere is connected. You are one in the flow of holy light, in the silence. Oneness is all there is. At the heart level, we are all the same. We are all connected. Take a breath of gratitude for this experience, and as you take another breath to return to your body, receive this blessing. Oh, my beloved, you are in spiritual partnership with all creation. As you open your heart, hearts open around you. When hearts are open, wounds are healed, connections are made, compassion emerges. Remember this always.
I'm a young black man doing all that I can to stand. Oh, but when I look around and I see what's being done to my kind, every day I'm being hunted as prey. My people don't want no trouble. We've had enough struggle. I just wanna live. God, protect me. I just wanna live. I just wanna live.
Oh, let us be generation of reconciliation and peace, and let us be a holy nation where pride and prejudice shall cease. Let us speak the
When we serve the light in unity, we all will be set free. Let us be the generation of reconciliation and peace. Oh, and let us be a generation of reconciliation and peace. And let us build on one foundation.
Good morning. Imagine being an unarmed man, three officers holding you down, one with a knee on your neck. Imagine that they are relentlessly applying force while you plead for your life, while you call for your mother. Imagine them choking the life from you, checking your pulse to make sure you don't have one. Then choking you 3 more minutes for good measure. And then waiting 3 more minutes before calling an ambulance to help. Imagine being a 17-year-old bystander on the street, watching this unfold. Imagine you're a witness to what appears to be a murder. Few people on the planet had heard about George Floyd until he was killed. The police officer was subsequently charged with murder after he had knelt on his neck during an arrest. You know, that video that documented that killing was so disturbing that YouTube posted a warning to potential viewers to watch it at their own discretion, to watch it at their own peril. because what took place was so alarming. Even the supervisor who made the initial call to the police in the first place told one of his employees to call the police on the police. You know, I've seen some horrific things in my day, but George Floyd's death upset my soul. It devastated and sparked something within me that I didn't even know was there, but also uplifted and sparked an anger within that community. And some members of and residents of Minneapolis, Minnesota rose in civil unrest. And that unrest not only erupted in Minneapolis, but in hundreds of communities in all 50 states, including I understand small towns and rural areas never heard of before, and probably never had those kind of experiences. There was a feeling not only of outrage, but hopelessness that gripped people from all stations of life. One of the Minneapolis residents said they felt as if the knee was on the neck of his community. In her talk last week, Reverend Deborah spoke on the topic of befriending our filter. We all have them. They shape our perception of life, including my own. It's particularly evident when an event like the killing of George Floyd happens and the protests that follow after the video of his death were viewed all over the world. Needless to say, a number of people want to know, why is what's going on happening? What does it mean? Help me understand. What are the solutions? Some of those folks direct the questions directly to me. Well, I don't know if I know more than anyone else. I have my own perception and my own filter that I see things through. You know, I'm going to address it today from my perspective and from my spiritual understanding, not because I want to necessarily. It's actually hard and at times uncomfortable to have a conversation like this. And frankly, I wish this was something I did not have to address. But as the Rolling Stones said in their song, you can't always get what you want, but you do get what you need. So I guess on some level I must, for it's a critical topic of our time. You know, as we build on this idea of filters and perceptions, I was reading recently an article by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who was a former NBA great. And he asked in this article that was in the Los Angeles Times, what was your first reaction when you saw the video of the white police kneeling on George Floyd's neck and Floyd died and said, I can't breathe? Some have little or no familiarity with individuals like George may have muttered horrified, oh my God, while shaking their head at the cruel injustice. Many African Americans leapt to their feet, cursed, maybe threw something or wanted to throw something, shouting, not freaking again, but they didn't say freaking. At the same time, they remembered the two vigilantes accused of murdering Ahmaud Arbery as he jogged through their neighborhood in February, and how if it wasn't for the video emerging somehow, they would have gotten away with it. And how those Minneapolis police officers claimed that Floyd was resisting arrest, but a store's video showed that he was not. And how the cop on Floyd's neck wasn't an enraged, extremist, white nationalist stereotype person, but a sworn officer who looked calm, entitled, and devoid of pity or concern. So what do you do when you see those angry protesters amassing outside the police station with raised fists? Some may be thinking they certainly aren't physically distancing. You know, when you notice the faces of individuals breaking into stores, and by the way, many of those are simply opportunists and could care less about justice or the cause, by the way, but if you see individuals do that, perhaps you think, well, that hurts their cause. Then you see the police station on fire. And you may wag your finger and saying, that's putting the cause backward. But as Jabbar wrote, you're not wrong, but you're not right either. You know, the African-American community, the black community is sometimes often used to the institutional racism inherent in education, the justice system, and jobs. And even though we do all the conventional things to raise public as well as political awareness, such as write articulate, insightful pieces in glossy magazines, explain the continued devastation on network TV, cable television, support candidates in politics who promise change, the needle for many hardly budges. And so people say, help me understand why this is going on. Many remember or know similar instances that have taken place in U.S. history. You know, there was one event that deeply affected me many years ago and happened to an African-American man who was a cousin of one of my high school classmates. And his name was Arthur McDuffie. Arthur McDuffie was an insurance agent and former Marine, was beaten into a coma by a dozen police officers after he had ran a red light on his motorcycle. And the officers, after research, were found to immediately try to cover up their crime to stage that it was an accident. Well, Arthur McDuffie died several days later as a result of the injuries that he suffered, and an investigation led to arrest. But 5 months after McDuffie was buried, a jury acquitted the officers of all charges. A rebellion spontaneously erupted right after the verdict was published. Many in the community that I was in were bitterly recalling how justice was not served in that case. But that case was just one of a heap of kindlewood that had been piling up and waiting for a spark to set ablaze what our country is experiencing right now. So in order to understand why this is happening, to see the long view, we have to look at it from a bigger perspective and get a background on why things have led to what it is now. You know, I picked a handful of out of hundreds of incidences that have led to where we are today. Because I'm a history buff, and I remember reading about in 1868, the Ku Klux Klan and whites organized national terror campaigns that massacred tens of thousands of black people across the country. In the summer of 1919, a widespread rebellion broke out across the United States when black veterans returned from World War I with notions of equality. Many of these riots involved police officers. Few of the participants of the lynch mobs were convicted. In 1955, a 14-year-old boy by the name of Emmett Till was kidnapped, tortured, and killed, wrapped in barbed wire and thrown into the Tallahatchie River in Monet, Mississippi, after a woman by the name of Carolyn Bryant tells a white lie. His murderers are never convicted, even after publicly confessing to the crime. In 1961, Birmingham, Alabama, Police Commissioner Bull Connor, along with the Ku Klux Klan co-conspirators, working along with them, coordinating with them, an attack on freedom fighters, Klansmen, and recruited racists beat, firebombed, and hospitalized peaceful protesters in Anniston, Alabama. In 1963, supremacists, one of whom was an FBI informant, bombed the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, killing a 14-year-old by the name of Addie Mae Collins, and also Cynthia Wesley and Carol Peterson, as well as an 11-year-old Denise McNair, as they were putting on their choir robes. In 1965, Alabama state troopers shot an individual by the name of Jimmy Lee Jackson, a nonviolent protester. In 1991, a video camera captures four Los Angeles police officers in the Department of Los Angeles beating Rodney King in one of the first viral police brutality videos that had ever come out. In 1992, a jury acquits and four officers who beat Rodney King, and a rebellion ensued. In 1999, four New York Police Department officers shot and kills a 23-year-old Amadou Diallo. The officers were acquitted on all charges. In 2012, 17-year-old Trayvon Martin is stalked, chased, and shot by George Zimmerman after 9/11 operators tell Zimmerman to leave the teenager alone. 6 weeks after the shooting, Zimmerman was arrested and subsequently acquitted of murder. In 2014, again in New York, an officer by the name of Daniel Pataleo kills Eric Garner. Pataleo was never convicted of a crime. In 2014, in Ferguson, Missouri, Officer Darren Wilson shoots and kills an 18-year-old Mike Brown Jr. Wilson was not charged with the crime at all. And then in 2014, Cleveland police officer Timothy Lohman kills 12-year-old Tamir Rice. Lohman is not charged with anything. 2015, Sandra Bland is found hanged in a jail cell after a dash cam captures her brutal arrest by state trooper Brian Ngibma. He's never convicted or charged with anything. And then in 2016, you know, Anthony, a gentleman by the name of St. Anthony, I think, of Minnesota, the police officer Yanez shoots Philando Castile during a traffic stop in which Castile was not driving or committing a drunk crime. The police officer was acquitted of all charges. And in 2016, Los Angeles police officer shot 37-year-old Alton Sterling as he lays on the ground restrained by officers. No one was charged with anything. And then 2018, Sacramento police officers opened fire on 23-year-old Stephon Clark, striking him 8 times. 6 of which were in his back. No one was ever charged with Clark's death. February, a vigilante mob in Brunswick, Georgia, chases down and shoots a 23-year-old Ahmaud Arbery, killing him. Travis and Gregory McMichael have been arrested for his death after more than 2 months of freedom. Third man has also been charged. The verdict still remains out. And in February, or rather this past May, the Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin kneels on the neck of George Floyd for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, 2 minutes and 53 seconds of which occurred after Floyd was unconscious. Floyd dies. Now, the officers eventually charged with third-degree murder, now up to, I think, second-degree murder. He had gone free for 4 days after this had happened. And on May 27th, Minneapolis residents said, "Screw this, forget this." On May 29th, present to right now, America and the world says, "Screw this, forget this." And as I noted, I know it went on a little bit, but this is just a snippet of the perceived injustice that took place and represent the pile of wood kindlings waiting for that spark. And that spark came when the killing of George Floyd took place. So here we are, upheaval across the United States and around the world. And the question is, what is the solution? You know, last week or so, I wrote a piece, a blog, that reflected on this question. And I noted that I read a book by Frantz Fanon, The Wretched of the Earth, and it popped up into my awareness. And I read that many years ago when I was in high school. It was during the time that I wanted, it was one of those eras in which I was a wannabe revolutionary. And it wasn't a spiritual book, but it did trigger a way of looking at what is going on regarding George Floyd's killing and the civil unrest that followed the video's public viewing. Mr. Fanon, a psychiatrist, analyzed the post-war decolonization in Algeria. Mr. Fanon proposes and posits that colonial rule's oppressive violence set the seeds of a similar reaction from the recipients of that oppression. And it took this counter-reaction to restore the balance of the universe and to give the people back their humanity and their liberation so that everyone would benefit. I don't know if I necessarily, you know, adhere to that belief or advocate anything that's happening today, but the key takeaway for me is that it's messy at any given moment when we're trying to be part of humanity's evolutionary process. Here is where I think we can see from a spiritual perspective, at least a different perspective, a different lens. That the nature of the universe is always growth and movement, moving into harmony. However, this growth is hardly ever a smooth, linear, or a continuous process. It is akin to the progression of ideas of the evolution of life. The protests that followed the widespread, gut-wrenching viewing of the killing of George Floyd reveal America at a boiling point. And we are at a critical phase of our journey as human and spiritual beings. But understand, the veil has been lifted for all to see. Of course, racism is not dead. People naively believe that the election of Barack Obama, that it was over, time to move on, nothing to see here. But there's another lens from African Americans and others who knew that it was not true. And in some police departments, this is a rampant way of being. You know, my son Jalen, who was very frustrated by this whole experience, reminded me of a quote attributed to Mark Twain, in which he said that history does not repeat itself, but it often rhymes. And that story about Emmett Till, who I mentioned earlier, in which that 14-year-old African-American boy was murdered in August of 1955 in a racist attack that shocked the nation and provided a catalyst for the emerging civil rights movement. Till was a Chicago native. He was visiting some relatives in Monet, Mississippi. And he was accused of harassing a local woman. And on her deathbed, the woman admitted it never happened. Nevertheless, several days later, relatives of that woman abducted Till, brutally beating and killing him before disposing of his body in a nearby river. Till's devastated mother insisted on an open casket funeral for her son, even though he looked very bad, in order to shed light on the violence inflicted on many in the South. Till's murderers were acquitted. But his death galvanized civil rights activists nationwide. Those who fought for civil rights gave Emmett Till's life meaning. Emmett Till's life was a sacrifice for a bigger purpose. And of course, when we say sacrifice, it means to make something sacred. George Floyd's life can be made sacred. It can be made sacred in a way to usher a new energy and a new force of change and transformation around the world. Interestingly, unlike in the past, we're coming into the realization that we all have skin in the game. And one thing I noticed about the protesters, at least the peaceful ones, there was a diverse group of people there, young people, mature people, Black people, white people, Latino people, Asian people, not just the African-American community, but people all over the stripes. You know, either in a protest took place, even the protests that take place around the world have been happening in Berlin and Paris and cities in Africa and Latin America and the Middle East, to name a few. Understand that racism cannot be eradicated by Black people or one group, but by our white brothers and sisters. It takes everybody together to possess the consciousness to get rid of the scorn of racism and bigotry. We do not want to merely have pity for the Floyd family, though we empathize and grieve with them. Nor do we have time to just be bystanders and see what's going on. What is about today and what's really erupting today is the need for participation and asking this question: what is my role in this inflection point in time? We're in a time in which everything is up in the air, where the veil has been lifted for all the world to see, and also the place where possibilities are also abound. And of course, it starts in our own consciousness. I was watching a program in which a panel of spiritual teachers and the lawyer for the Lloyd family were discussing what can be done. And somewhere in the discussion was noted that African Americans are called to tap into the vibrational frequency and power of their ancestors, that power of their ancestors that were there before the Mayflower, before the enslavement of Africans, and to call upon that power to be lifted to the omnipresence of God and to walk with that kind of empowerment. One of the panelists called upon our white brothers and sisters to tap into their ancestry of the great abolitionists who said no to man's inhumanity to man. It cannot and will not happen on our watch. The great abolitionist said, no, we got to do something. So people wrote about it, pushed for laws to change direction of the country. Others risked their freedom. Many did so much. There's a call to everyone to do their part, to do what they can. And then we will transcend to even the ancestral realm and come to that common meeting place in the eternal, that place where we are all one. And there is a downpouring of light where the world as we know it, the world as we know it now ends. And there is a birth of a new world, a new heaven, and a new earth. And in that new world, we ask, what is mine to do? What is my gift? What can be my contribution? And we will remember whatever we do to someone else, we do to ourselves. Whatever we say to someone else, we say to ourselves. And whenever anyone is suffering, we are part of that suffering. Dr. Martin Luther King wrote in his letter from the Birmingham jail, "We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied to a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects everyone indirectly." This is why, unless and until we are holding a space of compassion and seeking to eliminate that suffering, that we are all one in this glorious stew of the cosmos, stirred together to create a delicious dish of spiritual freedom for everyone, for beauty and wholeness on the planet to take place. The gospel is this. The good news is this. We're all in this together. And we do not bypass the pain, but we fully embrace its crucifixion, the sting of that crucifixion, the emotions, the anger, the fear, the upsetness, is all part of the journey. We must get ourselves out of the way first, and then let the Spirit run our life, individually and collectively. And like John from the Isle of Patmos envisioned, we will see the new heaven. We will see the new earth. As always, the choice is ours. Peace and blessings to you. Thank you for tuning in and being part of today's online celebration service. We're reminded that at this inflection point in history, we can anchor a new heaven and a new earth. And despite what we are experiencing right now, There is an all-knowing, loving presence that is supporting our individual as well as our collective good. And of course, we have the choice to align ourselves with that presence at this very moment. I'd like to give a shout out to our Spiritual Life Center staff, the AV team, Ira and Cameron, Paula, Reverend Deborah, Celia from Modern Roots Marketing, as well as all of those who have worked behind the scenes to make this experience happen for us. And now this is your opportunity to help us spread the message of oneness to all who are open and receptive to receiving it. So at this time, I invite you to support Spiritual Life Center with your donation or gift, and to give what you can. It makes a difference and is very much appreciated. You can give by texting SLC Love to 44321, or you can go to our website, slcworld.org, click the donate tab, and give in other ways, including by mail. At this time, I invite you to join me in consciousness as we say our offertory blessing. Divine love, as me, blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, and all that I circulate. Thank you, God.
Well, there are some beautiful souls up here on the platform, and I think I would like to tell you who they are in case you don't know. So some of them are in the choir. So from your far left, we have David and Dawn, who's going to lay down some bass. And then we've got Tom and Harvey over there, tenor. We've got Cindy. They're all in the choir. And then there's a lovely face here that we haven't seen for quite a while, Aoife Modupe. The last time she was with us was when we were at the PAC, and she's been out of town, and she's back in town. I ran into her at the Ricky Byers concert, and she graciously said yes to my invitation. So thank you for being with us, Aoife. And then we have our songbird, Larie, and Mary Rupp.
All right, now. Here we go. I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me around, turn me around. I said, I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. I'm gonna keep on walking. I'm gonna keep on talking. I'm gonna build a brand new. World, I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me around, turn me around. I ain't gonna let nobody
turn me around.
I'm gonna keep on walking, I keep on talking. I'm gonna build a brand new world.
Watch.
keep it going here. This song is a very, very old song. So old, all we can say is it's a traditional song. We don't even know who wrote it. And most of us know it from it being one of the soundtrack songs to a revolution, civil rights. But at its essence, this song is a personal freedom song. And you can put any word in there you want. Isn't that right? And you might not be able to pick up a guitar or get a band to back you up. So we're gonna sing it like they sang it in the very beginning. You ready?
I ain't gonna let nobody
turn me around.
I ain't gonna let nobody
turn me around.
I'm gonna keep on walking,
keep on talking,
I'm building
a brand new world.
Manson.
And as we bless our offering, it says, each of us is a fragile miracle. We are evidence of divine creation and divine grace. We are each unique. We are unrepeatable gifts to the world. We are proof of divine love. And so we who are the gifts of creation bless this offering and these gifts given in love. And so it is. And let us join together in our peace song.
God has created.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center, transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.